Barney, Brent, and the Lord be with you, brother.
That tape's good. You have heard somewhat today, and some of us talked at lunchtime about the fact that, and I believe this with every ounce of my being, that the love we have for Christ is in direct proportion to the sin we feel in ourselves.
That's true.
The Pharisee that we read about in the New Testament felt able in himself, there was no love.
Right.
The publican could not lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There was love there.
Amen.
In the book of Revelations, when they were looking for one to open the seals of the book, they saw one as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
And it was said, thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us by thy blood.
Yes.
Out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. Those are the ones that can worship Christ aright. You heard this morning about a woman that washed Christ's feet with her tears.
Yes.
Dried him with the hair of her head. I say to you, there was much love.
Amen.
We're told where much is forgiven, much will be required. And where much is given, much shall be required. With that backdrop, turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 103. This is one of quite a few psalms that tell us basically who we are, what we've been saved from, and what we've been saved to, by the way, and the reasons that we should bless the Lord. It said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Amen.
The next two verses tells us what these benefits are. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. But he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Yeah.
I would ask you this afternoon, is there any possible way that one could bless the Lord that did not and had not felt the redeeming power of the Son of God? And the answer is no. One cannot sing as the children of Israel were told to sing the songs of Zion in a strange land. Neither can one of the heathens sing the songs of Zion that don't know our God. People tell us today that we're getting closer to finding another universe in which there may be life. It's only 1,400 light years away. Now, I'm not real good at remembering school stuff, but if I remember correctly, light moves at 186,000 miles a second. 1,400 light years? Really? But that's how crazy the scientific world is. But it's covered in the book. We are told to avoid opposition of science, falsely so called. I believe, as you've already heard today, that my God said, let it be. And it was. I believe that my God has got the power to do anything that He wants to. And somebody probably sitting out there and say, he can't lie and he can't deny himself. What he don't want to do, either one of them, by the way. So he can do anything he wants to. He works and none can hinder. And he hinders and none can work. What is man? Think about that for a few moments. What is man? Man that is a worm. Man that can't do anything. He can't breathe. He can't walk. He can't move. He can't do anything unless he's given a power from on high.
Amen.
Naturally or spiritually, he can't do anything.
It's true.
God gives us breath. God takes it away. And yet man can say, look what we did. Well, I can tell you what we did. We did the sinning,
yes.
And God did the saving. And it said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was in me, bless His holy name.
Yeah. Holy
I beg my God daily for a mind and a voice and a heart to praise Him in a more perfect way. I know without a shadow of a doubt that I will never, ever get close to praising Him as I ought, except in yonder's world. Heard Brother Richard say, we'll know as we're known. I've told this story several times, but I heard a well-known TV evangelist say one time that when he got to heaven, he's going to do the same thing he did on earth. Going to teach God's people. I'm going to see my God in all His Shekinah glory.
Amen.
I'm going to know as I'm known. What are you going to teach me? And the answer is nothing. We won't need to be taught. We're going to see Him in all His Shekinah glory. We're going to be gathered around the throne of God. And again, like the brother said, we'll know as we're known. I don't see anything left out there. People say, well, will you know this? Will you know that? What are you going to do? I don't mean no harm, but what difference does it make? You see Him as He is, be like Him and be satisfied. What do we sing that song? I'll be satisfied when my soul is singing in the promised land above. I'll be satisfied. And yet we want to spend our days trying to figure out what we're going to do. You're going to be satisfied. It doesn't make any difference what you do. You'll be praising God.
Amen.
Anyway, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me,
bless
His holy name. Several times in the Word of God, we're told that holy and holy and reverent is His name.
Amen.
Yet man, some call themselves holy, some call themselves father, some call themselves reverend, and some of them put it all together. The most holy, reverend father, whatever. I tell you what I am. I'm a poor, wretched sinner.
Right.
Saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I'm a poor, wretched sinner. And like the brother said, I know when my God came to me in power. I know just as sure as the Apostle Paul did on the road to Damascus, I know when the Master came. And I know it was not a counterfeit. I know there was a change made. I know that I went from going that way to this. I went from loving this to hating that and loving something else. I went from wanting to be out in the world to driving 650-mile round trip to go down home to go to church with Daddy when I didn't want to go when I had to go.
Yeah.
Y'all know the story.
Sure.
I said to myself in my teenage years or early, when I get old enough to be in charge of my life, I will never step foot in an old Baptist meeting house as long as I live. In the pulpit one time up in the mountains of Virginia, I started to say that's the biggest lie I ever told. But it's not a lie at all. Because I'm not in control. I'm not in control. My God picked me up out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. That's where my goings are. They're established by God. Most everybody I know thinks I'm half crazy, and I most time agree with them. But that being said, I know who my God is. I know what my God has done for me, and I know I love my God, and I know that He is number one in my life. For personal reasons, I cannot and I will not tell you some of the things that I've been through in order to go to church, and some of the things that I've been told would happen if I did. Suffice it to say, I went anyway. You don't know the pain, I don't suppose, of going to visit your mother in a hospital, and then when somebody comes and asks, "Has Barnabas been to see you?" "Yeah, he came, but all he talked about was some old church junk." Well, by the way, Lord touched her later. I never told the story. Lord touched her later. Oh, she loved to go to church. She loved to go to Black Rock. And she's buried in the cemetery at Black Rock. And I did the funeral. With some of that old church junk. But anyway, said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that it was in me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Some folk just don't seem to have enough sense to know that everything we are, everything we have, everything we hope to be is from God. Naturally and spiritually. Everything we got is from God. Strength we have is from God. The hope we have, as sweet as it is from God. That precious promise that I'll never leave you, never forsake you is from God. I don't like to talk much about personal stuff, but I remember brother talking about his brother was battling cancer, and the doctors had no good word. We know the great physician. We don't know if he will, but we know he can.
Sure he can.
My doctor told me I'd be dead within a year without aggressive chemo. I haven't took any yet. I had a real long talk with the great physician. And before the doctors ever came in, I told them all is well. Let's get on with it. All is well. What did they say? "Well, something's happened. You're not as bad as we thought. We're not as bad as we were told." I said, "I've been trying to tell you that I know the great physician in my mind has been settled on the fact that all is well." You know what they think about that? They think you're crazy. And that's okay. That's fine. If I can talk to my Lord and believe that He hears and believe that He answers and believes that all is well, I care not what they think. Matter of fact, I kind of enjoy it. people, for the most part today, do not worship the same God we do. And they certainly don't worship Jesus. He's just a great prophet. He is not just a great prophet.
No.
He was not born to be a king. He wasn't born to be a prophet. He wasn't born to be a savior. He was already all of that before he ever came to this low ground of sin and sorrow. You've already heard. He said, "Let us make man." The covenant was in place. The cure was there before the transgression ever happened. Cure was already set. You know, in today's language, we'd say they already got the needle or whatever, the pill, whatever it is. But it took, so much more than that. David said, "Forget not all his benefits."
Right.
The benefit was that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, equal with God, willingly left heaven and immortal glory to come to this low ground of sin and sorrow, to walk up Golgotha's hill, to be hung upon a cross, to be despised and rejected. You heard this morning, it came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. It was also said that some folk had trouble realizing that Jesus was a Jew. Man's dead now, but he got mad at me 10 or 15 years ago because I disagreed with him about that scripture in John 1:11. Came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. A man stood in the pulpit and said, "Jesus Christ won't know Jew." Well, you explain John 1:11 to me. He said, "That was the church." I said, "It can't be the church. If that was the church, that meant half of them was lost. As many leaves out a bunch of them. As many as believed, he gave the power to become the sons of God. How about the ones that didn't believe? If that's the church, they're lost worlds without end. But it was the Jewish nation. He came to them and they received him not. Lo, I turned to the Gentiles." Aren't you glad he turned to the Gentiles? Aren't you glad that he grafted us in? Or aren't you glad that, as we stated before, out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, he saved his people? He knew who they were.
Absolutely.
He knew where they were.
Absolutely.
He knew when they were going to be born. He knew when they were going to die. So you don't have to sing that old song, "Wait a little longer, a few more days to get our loved ones in." God knows who they are. He knows if they're his, it will be manifest if they're laying over there comatose.
Foundation.
My God can still touch their heart.
Amen.
My God can go into the heart of an unborn. He can go into the heart of one that's in an insane asylum. If you don't believe that, read the story of William Cowper. Yeah. He wrote, "God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform." He also wrote, "There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins," and yet he was in an institution and tried to commit suicide two or three times. But God used him to write those marvelous songs. Oh, I want you to know that my God, as the scripture says, does not call the mighty. He doesn't call the noble. But as you've heard this morning, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And you can look at that from a financial standpoint, or you can look at that from poor in spirit.
Absolutely.
You have got to be poor in spirit. You cannot be high-minded, because God does not come to high-minded people. And at least he don't leave them that way. I kind of suspect that Saul of Tarsus was very high-minded. He was here, but in the next step he wouldn't. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" He said, "I'm not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Oh, wretched man that I am. I want you to know he was not high-minded once God came. Oh, King, look what I've done by the power of my might. How did he fare out? The worms ate him up because he did not give God the praise. Anyway, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy distresses. You notice how quick he just goes through this, and this is the Psalm of David, by the way. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with love and kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. That's just a small space of time. But it's talking about forgiveness. It's talking about redemption. It's talking about being renewed. It's talking about all those things that we hold dear and precious. And yet in just two or three verses here, David enumerates them all. And he does it with power. He says to bless the Lord, to praise His holy name. And then he says, don't forget all His benefits. And then he enumerates some of the benefits. And if you want to hear some more of this, let's just go to verse 8. It said, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. It said in verse 12 that He's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. He removed our transgressions. 14 says, He knoweth our frame, He remembers it, we are but dust. 17 said, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. What David said here, concisely, powerfully, is that God is in control, that He has redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb of God, that He's put our transgressions as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. That He's loved us with an everlasting love. God is the only one that has that kind of power. God is the only one that can send redemption. God is the only one that had the covenant made between Him and the Son. Where would you be without the covenant? We're told to forget not His benefits. You know, we could go back to Genesis. It says, in the beginning, God. That's all you need to know. You don't need to know about the scientists. You don't need to know about the astrologists. You don't need to know about the heathen. It said, in the beginning, God. That's all you need to know. He was in the beginning. There was nothing else there. And bear in mind, when I say God, I mean the three in one. There was nothing else there. Let it be. Let there be. He spoke and they came into existence. Man, He formed and fashioned him out of the dust of the earth. And by the way, what could old brother Adam do? He couldn't move. He couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. He couldn't think. He couldn't do anything. It's just a lump of clay laying there that looks like a man. But when my God breathed in His nostrils the breath of life, He became a living soul. Brethren, I believe as sure as I'm standing here that Adam was created with the appearance of age. I believe the world was created with the appearance of age.
Amen.
My God's got the power to put all those things in the earth that we need. And it didn't take 16 billion years for it to happen. Everybody talks about the fact that oil is rotting, decaying bodies in the earth. How in the world Do you suppose they got 3,000 or 4,000 feet down below the ocean? I mean, really? Y'all don't believe that. Not to mention the fact that in Israel, right near where the cradle of civilization started, there is no oil. Israel has no oil. Next door, they got plenty. But Israel was a long time there. They don't have any. I don't believe it for a minute. I believe my God gave us all we need. And just like the sun, you know, is it going to wear out? Yeah. Is it going to wear out while we still need it? No. Absolutely not. Is it going to burn out? Yeah. When we don't need it any longer. Scientists have already figured out how long it's going to last. Somehow or another, I got a sneaky suspicion that God renews it when it's necessary. I mean, if the earth were 16 billion years old, how in the world could the sun still be... How far away is it? I don't know. The moon's 240,000. Sun's way up yonder. Way over there, wherever it's at. And you still get heat from it and it'll still burn you. We still make electricity out of it. 16 billion years later, so do scientists say. I don't believe a word of that either. I'll admit to 6,000 years, and after that, I got a problem. After that, I got a major problem. Not that it matters, but God said, in the beginning, God. It says, forget not his benefits. The sun is a benefit. The sun, S-U-N, is a benefit. The sun, S-O-N, is a benefit. The S-O-N said, I am the life. I am the light. I am, over and over and over, the branch, the good shepherd, the door. The S-O-N means more to me than the S-U-N. Some people actually worship the sun, by the way. I wonder what they think when they hear it's going to give out. Oh, that's right. It's going to be 10 billion years away. It won't bother them too much. But we live in a strange world today. There's chaos, immorality, wickedness. In high places, evil everywhere you look. Be not dismayed. God is still in control.
Amen.
He redeemeth. He reneweth. He does everything that you need spiritually. And when it talks about renewing, it's like the eagle. We're told that some eagles live to be 100 years old. Every year they get new feathers and they fly away again. Have you ever, by the way, had that sneaking little desire back there to take the wings of an eagle and fly away and be at rest? I have. But yet, I always say, not my will but thine be done. You can't desire that. It's selfish. But yet we know that we're all pressing towards that. But fear not. God gives us all that we need. He fills us. He redeems us. He bought us. He's put away our transgressions. He's put away our iniquities. And by the way, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So many times I hear people say, oh, I'm not nothing. Oh, don't go there. Please don't. You may not feel nothing in yourself, but you are the children of the heavenly King. You're a child of Jehovah, subject of grace. You're an heir of Jesus Christ. Joint heir, by the way. Don't sell yourself short, because when you do, you're selling Jesus short. Heard many years ago, a young child said, "I'm something because God don't make no nothings." And that's true spiritually. We're children of the heavenly King. We're child of Jehovah. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And think about it. He hung upon the cross between the heaven and the earth. Mocked. Ignominious death, if you will. To be stripped, as it were, and hung up right beside the road so everybody could see. Oh, but they made one fatal flaw. More than one. First off, they put that sign, "Jesus, the King of the Jews," which was really, really, really true. They meant it in mockery, but it was really, really, really true. They thought they were going to get rid of him, by the way. Played right into the hand of God. Jesus told them he was going to suffer, bleed, and die. Jesus told them, "For this cause came I into the world." And yet, they're going to do exactly what he told them was going to happen and do away with him. Oh, they did. For three part days. Let's just say 3 days. They did away with it. Oh, but what happened when he come forth? Whole multitudes rushed to him. What happened when Lazarus was in the tomb? He'd been there 4 days. Sister said, "Behold, he stinketh." 4 days is vitally important, because the Jewish people felt that if one died, the spirit hovered for 3 days over that corpse, and it could go back into have life. 4 days, not so much. Over, done, you really dead. Now, I don't believe they're dead, dead, or deadest. You either dead or you ain't. But anyway, when Lazarus came forth, oh, they was mighty upset. Those that didn't believe in Jesus, the rest of them were very happy. Those that didn't believe in Jesus, they wanted to kill him again. Because much people believe when they saw Lazarus. Brethren, I want you to know that much more people believed when they saw Jesus come forth victorious over death and the grave. How about it when above 500 seen him ascend up into heaven? Said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus." It didn't say anything about another one. "This same Jesus, whom you see taken up into clouds, shall so come in like manner." And he's coming again. A lot of folk are looking for him to come the first time. Brethren, I'm looking for him to come the second time. With power. With that mighty voice. And speak to the sleeping dust. And they shall come forth. Oh, come forth in the likeness of a once crucified but now risen Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Come forth. Never to die again, to be in a world that shall never end. In a world where the song says, when we've been there 10,000 years by shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. That used to bother me because I lost 10,000 years. But finally, as Brother Gary so wonderfully told me a few minutes ago, I'm thick-headed. I'm a little thick-headed sometimes. Finally dawned on me. An eternity that shall never end, 10,000 years ain't much. So now I know what to write about. No less days to sing His praise than when we first began. Exactly. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing.